It is very early. I know we just after yoga as well. That's a support band you don't want to play after. That's like, it's like going on.
Everybody's too chilled out now. No, yeah, nobody wants fun after yoga, do they? They're all like,
we're chilled, we're at peace.
I've been pretending to be a dog for a bit. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works.
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to Sapling Podcast.
Sapnin! You are listening to episode 198 of Sapnin Podcast, featuring myself, Sean Smith, and my good friend, Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and we're taking a trip to a place called Silvertown, where revenge is justified, and you make me feel like a vampire.
How do I do that?
To find out, won't you?
Yeah. Oh my god, alive. I'm kind of sad this isn't a visual podcast then, because your face just, you look like you'd fucking frozen, but everything in your brain was working at once. That's fucking brilliant. You'll have to listen on, Manu. Yes, this week's guests are gothic rock metalers, good friends of the podcast, the brilliant Saint Agnes.
Yes, you can call them horror punk, you can call them thrash metal, but they are simply a band for those who dare to be different. Since their inception, Saint Agnes duo Kitty and John have played the industry by their own rules and quickly gained a reputation for being one of the most unpredictable live bands in the UK right now, with their raw energy, wild stage presence, and a love for blood. One album, three EPs, and a bunch of standout singles later, they have spent this summer tearing up festivals while working on a lot of exciting things behind the scenes. And we invited them to join us on stage at 2000 Trees as part of our first run of live podcast shows in front of an audience to get to know them a little better and to help tell their story. Now, literally, they have nothing to promote. I think they told us this is kind of the first outing of public speaking they've done on the stage like this. And they're just a band that we enjoy, have gotten to know pretty well. And someone you've got to play a lot of shows with, your band Raiders, Sean.
Yes, we were blessed enough to support St. Agnes at the Underworld a few months ago. And we had a great time. And their crowd was very, very accepting of us. Yeah, it was just a fucking all-round great day, great gig. And I got a fucking load of time, respect and love for John and Kitty, because as you're about to hear this chat, it was a fucking great conversation. It was hilarious. It was very, very funny in parts. There's even some anti-Welsh jokes in there that I'm not even angry about. So that's okay, John. I'm not going to fucking bat you when I see you on us now. But yeah, like you said, this was like one of our first ones in front of a live audience, and you get to hear the crowd in the background, the crowd interaction, laughing, shouting shit out. And yeah, another Wayne's World fucking reference. When we booked these shows, we literally thought nobody would come to them. So the fact that they got bigger and bigger by the day over the 3 days of 2000 Trees, one of our favorite festivals. I don't just mean that as a podcast. I mean that as somebody who's been in a band who's been lucky enough to play it over the years. We had a great time there, and this is the beginning of something awesome, I think, because, yeah, after doing these, I'd really like to do more live shows. So if you'd like to come to a live show, let us know at Sappening Pod on Twitter, Instagram. You can let us know on TikTok, but who the fuck knows when we're going to fucking check out again. but yeah, we had a fucking great time with Kitty and John. And thank you, as always, to them for coming on. Thank you if you came to see us. Oh, if you came to see us at 2000 Trees and found the podcast at 2000 Trees, please, please get in touch with us and let us know. Because there was some new faces there watching us. And I want to know if they've carried on listening or did they just go, oh yeah, that was good on the day, but fuck listening to that on the reg.
I was in a queue to get ice cream on one of the days, and someone did come up to me and said, I've never heard of the podcast before, but that was a lot of fun. So hopefully they have checked it out since, but I guess we'll find out. But no, in this conversation, we literally talk about everything St. Agnes, from the whole ethos of going against the grain, choosing happiness over money, insane live moments, Kitty's battles against female musician stereotypes, bins, 9-inch nails, and all the crowd interaction possible. And before we get into things, if you'd like to help us continue make these podcasts each and every week, please go and check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/sappening. That is the best way to support us. But without any further ado, this is what happened when we went on stage with St. Agnes at 2000 Trees Festival this summer.
Yes! Sapnin!
Sapnin!
I am in no way still angry at the anti-Welsh joke performed on this podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Walking! Sapnin!
Hey!
Awesome! Thank you very much for being here. Again, still mental to me that we're doing this.
3 days in a row.
And yeah. The crowd hasn't dwindled like I thought it would, to be honest. I know Thursday, we'll get 10 people in. Friday, 7. Today, none. So thank you very, very much for being here. We are the hosts of Sapnin Podcast. For anybody that doesn't know, my name is Sean Smith. I was in a band that did surprisingly well for about 10 years. And then everybody caught on and was like, oh no, the dog shit. and then I was like, oh, I've still got this massive ego. What can I do? I'll start a podcast.
Hey.
So yeah, because I can't draw or tattoo or cut hair, I had no other options but to start a podcast. And yes, this is the wonderful Morgan.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, it was weird saying wonderful.
Wonderful. You don't compliment me that much. But yeah, being a journalist for almost 10 years. So
just like to have a laugh, don't we? Behind the scenes look at music industry and
yeah,
have a good time.
How many of you guys have listened to an episode of Sapling Podcast before?
Ooh.
Class. How many of you guys have never heard of Sapling Podcast before? Class.
Wow.
Two. Is it two? Was there any more? Three, four, five. Oh, they're all coming out.
Oh.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 245. Jesus Christ.
Fuck yeah. Yeah.
13,000 people. I can't believe it. Biggest crowd of the weekend. Unbelievable. Nobody heard of us. Have you guys had a good festival so far?
Yes. How many of you?
That's a no.
How many of you are tired out now? Yes. Did we all party too much at the Silent Disco? Yes. Is it nice to sit down? Yeah, well, there we are.
It's just a Q&A today. We just ask you stuff all day.
Yesterday was full of some great performances, I thought. I was very excited to see Young Guns back at it. Very, very good set. Turnstile were...
Tasty.
Tasty.
I couldn't think of a word quick enough. I'm starving. I'm not going to lie. I haven't eaten yet, right? So they're all going to be word-related food. Food-related words today. That's it. I'm so hungry.
Right,
I'm getting in the wrong way.
Right, I'll give you a band we're playing today. You give me food describing. Right.
Pig sevenfold. Bacon. Pigs. Bacon. Mmm. Crispy.
You meet six.
They got meat in the fucking name. You meet six.
Idols.
Oh, somebody over there. Wait, are they playing today?
They are. They're headlining today.
They might be. Does that mean, yeah, so someone might be on site at the festival already? I won't say anything else. Carry on. He seems like an awfully aggressive man, and I don't want to... I don't want him shouting sentences about me on the next album, so... I blanked out. I literally got terrified thinking about Joe smashing my face in.
It'd be very awkward if he walked past right now and then just turned into a fight.
I love idols. I don't know what you're talking about. They're great. These are nice. Should we introduce our guests?
Yes. So we are very lucky to be joined today by a band who rocked the main stage yesterday. Please welcome Sig Agnes duo John and Kitty.
Woo!
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm really having deck chair.
Everyone is so tired.
I'm glad I didn't wear a short skirt for this.
I'm gutted you didn't.
I feel exposed in my shorts, to be honest. It's very Morg, legs on
Morg,
show.
If anybody can see anything up those shorts, you literally have put the organ in Morgan. Jesus Christ. But yes, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having us, yeah.
Yeah, first off, yesterday the show was awesome.
Thank you.
How did you guys feel about it?
It's fucking great, yeah. I was saying before, like, we're not really that kind of daytime band. We're definitely more of like a nighttime band. we don't go out in the sunlight. But it was fucking great, yeah.
Yeah, it was a blazer. It was really, really good. Like, the metric to measure it by is if Kitty can stage dive and people catch her, then you know it works. Mm-hmm. Which means that every gig we've ever done has worked.
It's always been great.
Because you've not been dropped yet.
Yet.
She did once climb the rigging when we were playing in the Czech Republic, and
I'm afraid of heights, but I completely forgot that in the moment, and I like scaled really fucking high and was like, yeah. Looked down and was like, oh,
no!
Fucking God.
Yeah! No!
And then spent like a really awkwardly long time, very slowly, like climbing back down.
We edited that bit of footage out. We just got the bit of her going up and everything. But it was funny because she'd gone up, and if she'd looked to her right where the stage was, she was actually not that high.
No,
but looking to her left where the pit was, it looked really high. And she looked to her left and was like, fuck. But actually, she was like 3 feet off the ground.
It was more than 3 feet, I'm sure.
But there is always that risk, isn't it, when you go for a stage dive, that what if they all just
the part like the Red Sea.
Like Jack Black, yeah, in School of Rock. Yeah, that's the fear. But yeah, it hasn't happened yet.
So. No, we'd be lucky.
Yeah.
Lucky you. Yeah, no like proper injuries or anything.
Yeah.
Well,
ever on set, no injuries ever?
Mm. I mean, like, there's like cuts and stuff, you know.
Always like cuts and bruises.
Yeah, sort of. I have a tendency of hitting Kitty with my headstock on my guitar, like, we, you know, just, and like the little sharp string ends and stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But in the moment, you don't really notice it. It's afterwards you get on stage, you're like,
oh, yeah, an hour later, you're like, oh, that hurts.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So you, like, Kitty, like, the next morning after the show, you were like, what?
Covered,
mystery bruises everywhere. Yeah.
You've literally hit yourself in the head with mics numerous times, so.
Yeah, on purpose as well. Like, like an idiot. Like, I'm 38. Grow up. yeah, we did one show in Bristol where I dented my head. Yeah. And I thought, oh, this will look cool now. I look like Ric Flair in WrestleMania, covered in blood. And then after it, just the only people who said good show to me were 3 15-year-old girls. And I was like, I got to stop doing it. I'm a grown up. Like, I'm literally self-arming for entertainment. This is mental. Yeah. So yeah, I tried to calm that down. I did. I got a new band now called Raiders. We played the Cave stage yesterday. Thank you very much. That's more enthusiasm than everyone who was there yesterday. And I did a bit of a climb, and I thought, oh, I'll just drop back onto people over here. And I realised I don't trust any of the general public anymore. So voted for Brexit. They voted for the Conservatives. They can't catch, you know. So yeah, I've done some very stupid shit on stage. But yeah, what's the wildest thing you've ever seen another band do that you've been like, I wish I could do that, or thank God I'm not in that band?
I mean, my favourite band is Nine Inch Nails. And
nice,
like,
nice.
It's tamer now because Trent's 57.
Yeah.
But
he's nearly 60.
He's nearly 60.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy. We saw them last week and it was amazing. Anyone who hasn't seen Nine Inch Nails, still go and see him. It's incredible. Yeah. But the Nine Inch Nails of like the 90s and stuff, which I didn't really get to see, but you see the footage was just insane. But I did see them with Aaron North on guitar from the Icarus line, and he was like a really wild guy. And when I saw him, he climbed the PA and did a Kitty and got to the top and freaked out and just couldn't get back down.
Can we not call that doing a Kitty? That's not a thing.
But it prompted me to look up more mad Icarus line stuff to see what was out there. And there's amazing footage of them playing a really small show at Hard Rock Cafe somewhere in the States. And they're playing away, and there's a glass case with Jimi Hendrix's guitar and stuff there. And halfway through the set, he just smashes it, grabs the guitar, like cuts everywhere, plugs it in, and just starts going. And the security absolutely destroyed him. And I was like, that's the best thing I've ever seen on set.
Wow.
That is the fucking best thing I've ever heard of.
Liberated.
Oh, I'm so jealous. I gotta play an Hard Rock Cafe now. Oh, I am nicking things.
There's so much good stuff to steal. Like, if you take that attitude, like, it's all there for the taking.
Yeah. Oh, I could get an Arnold Schwarzenegger jacket from Terminator 2, probably. Oh, I'd love that. So many things to steal, like, and upset people.
That's it. The next one of these is going to be at a Hard Rock Cafe somewhere. But
oh, I'd love
did
that.
See some footage yesterday of the guy from Fever 333 putting a bin on his head.
Yeah,
so, yeah, Jason
amazing.
Loves that.
Yeah,
that was like that
he's
was,
a wild one.
That was like never seen the bin move before. Yeah. Like, that was a new one for me. And we were thinking like, where's he got the bin from?
Yeah.
Has he got
lines? His own bin on tour. Like.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's on his rider, because I've seen him do that a few times, and I've always wondered, I'd love a bin myself.
Yeah. It would just be embarrassing.
That's an easily attainable goal, Sean.
Yeah. Well, you think that, but we were talking backstage about...
Yeah, actually, no.
There you go. Yeah. So, yeah, we were lucky enough yesterday. Me and Morgan talked to the band Rome yesterday, and because they're coming up to the 10th anniversary, and they're splitting up on the 10th anniversary. They were telling us that they worked out, right, over the 10 years, they worked out all the money they've ever got, right? They worked out their hourly wage for those 10 years has been 5 pence an hour.
Cha-ching!
Laugh in a band's misery! You don't deserve it! Now entertain me, you scum! That's what you sounded like, eh, when you laughed at 5p an hour. You bastards.
But that does make it harder when you want just something like a bin, because you've got so many other people.
I'm going to start putting a bin on a rider. Yeah, you must do. Because, yeah, we did some shows with Let Live, and I was like, he's got a bin as a hat. Where's he got that from? That's nuts.
Well, that's it. You're going to, because if you're going to do that, you don't want to risk not having the right bin, because you don't want to try the move.
Own bin.
I can't get in.
Yeah, small bin and look like a dickhead. Because yeah. Whether you look like a dickhead with the bin working, I don't know. I know, but the point is as a band, you don't get much money, and a few things you do ask for, you want to get it right.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we're very specific on our rider about a few things.
Ooh, like, well,
we keep it really short, but we're very specific. It's never right.
Right. What do you ask for on the rider? What is your go-to list?
It's nothing funny.
No, it's not funny at all.
Just, we don't really Lucas like lager.
Lager. That's like in red.
Yeah, if you don't like lager in a band,
you're fucked. You're so fucked.
It's like, well, what do we pay you with? Like, they just don't know how to pay you. And it's like we say in red, really big, we would rather have one nice beer each than like 50 lagers.
Yeah.
We always just get 4 lagers.
Yeah. What can we pay you with? Money? No, not money. No. What about 4 lagers? Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they have the audacity to go like, oh, but this gig's sponsored by this lager company, so could you put a couple on your amps? It's like, you are aware that putting beers on your amps, this is a much more expensive thing. Than
Hey, this is electrical, and that's a fluid.
Yeah.
And if I've learned anything, I had a C in GCSE science, by the way, so I might be wrong, right? But I don't think liquids and electricity mix very well.
It works the same in England as well.
Yes! Thank you very much, Soccer!
But speaking...
That was great. That was really good, class.
I really enjoyed that.
But speaking of that kind of like lack of money in bands, I think a lot of people don't aware the amount of people you need to pay for other things that have to get paid first. Photographers, tech, sound people.
It is weird to me that like everybody else gets paid before the artist. Like that is I don't know, it just feels like that's a really strange like way round. Because, you know, like everybody's here because we're playing, right? We're not getting paid. Like, I don't know, like something's really gone wrong.
But I think if you flip it around, it just shows how passionate the bands are.
Yeah.
Like, to like take this conversation away from being like super negative about the money side and everything. Yeah. We don't come to play a festival like this thinking about the money. We just want to be able to walk away from it like not having paid for the privilege of being here.
Yeah.
We'd rather like just turn up, play, everyone have a great time, all the crew that we've got all get paid fairly, and if we come away like having got a burger for free, we're like pretty happy. And I think it just shows how crazy the bands are to be doing this lifestyle, and it's because they're so passionate about it, and it's the one unifying factor that even if you're backstage and you're chatting to a band and you know everyone assumes that every band knows each other, and we don't. Everyone like is in their own little orbit because you're really busy. Mm. You get off stage and you have to go and do an interview and do this, and like you wave at each other because you've seen each other like at 20 shows. We've done a few shows together and we've barely seen each other recently. Like, there's just the one thing you've got in common if you do have time to stop and talk is this, like, isn't this fucking crazy that we do this? But we still do it because we love it, and we get that thing of like that half hour on stage.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, what we all need to take away from that is really, really appreciate the bands that are here. Check out the merch, because literally that is one of the only ways bands get income now. So, it's a bit shit, but it's also, like you said, it's all about that thrill for that half hour. Mm. Like, it's... Like, we got here yesterday early, we did a podcast, and then I went down to meet my band and stuff, and they were all like, oh, I got up at 7, and I got to restring my guitar and all that, and then we were all, like, whinging beforehand, and then it was stage time, and then for that half hour, we were alive, loving life, and then after it, our guitarist, Bob, he's literally the most angry person I've ever met in my life, right?
He's a very angry man.
Literally, we played in Manchester once, and his amp stopped working doing a song. So he punched himself in the face 5 times. And then walked out of the building and see, I was looking around Manchester to see if he could get to any rooftops, right? Because he's such a miserable bastard. Luckily for us, he couldn't find a rooftop, which is crap because there's loads of them in Manchester. So. Yeah, wait, I just, never mind. shit. But yeah, but yesterday, like he hit a couple of wrong notes yesterday and I was like, oh no, this is going to be dreadful now when we get off. But he came off and he was alive and loving it and just like, because we were so shocked by anybody turning up. The fact the tent was full, I think, was unbelievable for all of us in the band. And what I've learned as well is because me and Bob have been in a band as well that luckily got a tour and played some surprisingly big shows. I keep forgetting that I've got two other members of the band who literally haven't done anything kind of like that before. Like our bassist was literally in a covers band playing in pubs in Aberdeen. And then next minute he's on stage at Shepherd's Bush Empire going, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's big step up.
But yeah, it's... But that's what it's all about. It's about those feelings. And like, as jaded as I've become by bits of it and stuff, when I turn around and I see the basses is like, fuck, I'm like, oh yeah, this is unreal. Like, I can't believe we're doing this either.
Yeah,
exactly. But there's those moments. Is there any, have there been any moments where you felt kind of jaded or blasé about the situation?
Never for the actual show.
Yeah.
Like it all, even if we're a bit annoyed with each other before going on stage about something stupid, you know, like there's just been a miscommunication about something and like you're... The 5 minutes beforehand, you all kind of come together and remember what you're doing, why you're doing it. And you kind of, you've got two things. One, like you owe it to yourself that you've worked really hard to be in that situation. Literally that day, you've probably driven hours to go and play a pub or whatever, that you might as well make the most of it. And the other side is there is an audience there who have come to see you, who we've all been in the audience at loads of gigs, and you don't want to think they're bringing their personalised, that you just want like,
and I think
thing.
As well, like after the pandemic and lockdown, it's like that more than ever, isn't it? There's a line in one of our songs that I really like try to now live my life by, which is, if we're here, we might as well fucking be here. And that's kind of what
class.
I really, really try to think about that
yeah.
as much as possible, especially on stage.
Yeah, well that's a good attitude to go into everything, because just as like a music fan perspective, there's so many bands I kind of listened to and got into growing up with that aren't around anymore. Mm-hmm. So being able to do things like this as well, it's just nice that you can appreciate the little things and just kind of make sure you document it and that you give it your all while you get to do this.
Yeah, just be more present, not always thinking about the next gig, the next thing. Just be like, no, I'm here, like right now. I'm trying to do it right now, actually.
I think that's the problem I had, like towards the end of the blackout, was that I'd become so blasé to it. And I was like, this is going to go on forever. This will be fine. I'm going to be doing this forever. Mm. And then fucking no. And yeah, like it was just weird moments where I wasn't present, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like the last time we went to Australia, all the boys are like, oh, we're going to go to Sydney Opera House and, you know, do all the touristy stuff. And I was like, we're going to come back here. I'm going to sit in and watch the Oscars. So I watched the Oscars in Australia while the rest of my band were out taking photos by the Opera House and enjoying life. And I was like, I wish I had watched the fucking shitty Oscars now, to be honest.
I think you just got to embrace the moment. And like, there's definitely moments where we're on tour and you feel jaded and you're exhausted and you're driving really far and things go wrong, the van breaks down. And, we did a show once in Germany where it was the first night of a tour and we were playing in the really small town. And it was the back room of this pub, basically. And the sound guy was like, that sounds great, but can you all turn down? And we're like, that's fairly standard. I don't know who anyone here is in a band, but anytime you set up on stage, the sound guy always asks you to turn down a bit. So, which is reasonable at first. And then it went more and more and more. And he was like, still sounding really good, but down a bit more. And it got stage where we were just openly talking, like not over the music. And he was like, it's just, that's the vibe of this particular pub. And there's people that have made complaints. And we were like, this is going to be terrible. We had a mosh pit. It was it was insane.
Quietest mosh pit of all time.
You could hear their bodies slapping on the floor.
They were wrestling.
It was frightening. Honestly, it was frightening.
Germany, yeah.
Blood, yeah. Wow. So yeah, we were super jaded before. That's the most jaded I've ever felt. Most disheartened.
Yeah, because you think like, fuck, like what the, why the fuck are we here? Like yeah. We've driven 8 hours. Like this is ridiculous.
All we've got is volume.
Yeah.
Yeah. Literally.
And then you've taken that from
And then I mean that was great, and then we stayed at the promoter's house that night, and Kitty and I managed to get a really quiet room, got some really good sleep, and the other two guys, the promoter, stayed up all night watching Conan the Barbarian and just wouldn't let them sleep. Like, and then then he was like, okay, I think we should go to sleep now, and he's like, I'll put your bed together, and it took him hours.
He had to build it. It's like an IKEA bed that was unbuilt. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah.
And then we had like
an 8 hour drive the next day across Germany. Oh. And Andy, our drummer, does most of the driving, and like he was just dead. So yeah, that's band life, amazing, isn't it? Good stories, though.
Good, like, yeah, but that's the thing. Yeah, that's what I love about this. Is like I'm more interested. Like when we talk to bands, like I'd rather not talk about, you know, like what's your favorite song to play. Like I want to know the nitty gritty and the funny stuff. Though you can look back on now and laugh, but at the time you were like, I wanted to cry.
Yeah, it's all about experiences, isn't it? And every band have different experiences with stuff. And, you know, that line of work is something you can't explain to people who work 9 to 5 or anything else. And you want to make the most of all these moments.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, we played the exact same kind of show there that we did when we played Download last year. You know, from our point of view, we're just going and doing the thing. The only difference is the context it's in. And that's what separates kind of like the lifer bands from the people who just do it as a fun thing, is that it's just a given that it doesn't matter who's here, we're just going to go and dish it out. Like whether you're doing an acoustic set or like your full-on heavy thing, you're just like, I'm going to put everything into this. Because for us, the songs are quite emotive. Like a lot of the lyrics and stuff that Kitty writes are deeply personal, and you have to show, as a band member, I have to show that Kitty's lyrics respect. And you know, there's no, you can't just be there phoning it in while she's there singing something that is like tearing her heart into, you know. It's you owe it to each other as friends and comrades, like in the whole thing.
When you were talking then about putting the same show on every time, like one of my things early on was like, even if there's nobody there, I'll see it as like a free rehearsal, and I'm going to give it my all to these songs anyway. To the point where once the Blackout played in Cardiff Barfly, and the sound guy set us up to go on, and he brought his border collie with him, like you do, to work. I'll take my border collie. You could probably do that now. But this was back probably like 15 years ago. And as he went, cool, we're ready to go. And we were like the first band on, so we were like, cool. It was literally just him and the dog. And then he went, cool, the doors are open. You're on now. So we started, and then he left, right? But the dog stayed. 6 grown-up men, right? Playing mediocre rock music to a border collie, right? And he only... I say he, I'm assuming the gender of the dog, but I'm sorry about that. The dog left after 3 songs, mind, so it wasn't a great. Have you ever what's the minimal gig you've played, and what's the most people you've played to?
Never nobody. Like, we've never played to nobody. Yes. So that's nice. Good.
You win.
Probably like I don't know what you like. I mean, we have played to a handful of people many times.
Mm. Yeah, it has happened, definitely.
It's just what you have to do. Like, if you're a band that like grafts and you don't have like a load of connections, so when you start a band, you are starting from like the bottom rung of the ladder, which is definitely what we've done.
Yeah.
You play hundreds of gigs to know people, and that's just what you have to do. That's just part of it.
If you don't have, you know, some bands like have a magical leg up, like they know someone, they're whatever, like there's some money appears out of nowhere and they're immediately on a bigger stage, and they never know that first grueling bit that takes years. But you learn your craft, you know, playing to a few disinterested people and managing to turn them into actual fans. That skill, if you can apply that to the main stage here, that stands you in really good stead. If all you've ever done is play that, you don't really know how to win over those disinterested people.
Yeah.
I think the smallest number of people we ever played to was at a venue called, I think it's MTC in Germany. And we did that and we were like, oh, you know, it's going to be bad. But there was loads of smoke on stage, so we couldn't even really tell. So it was quite nice.
Nice. To just,
and we played, we just went for it. And we played a load of songs that we were thinking we might play later in the tour. And we kind of got a free rehearsal kind of vibe out of it. And at the end of that night, we sold
more merch. On the whole tour. Wow. Yeah.
It was like everyone bought hundreds of pounds worth of merch. We're like,
because the amount. This is the richest city in Germany.
Yeah, it's like, this is insane. And so, yeah, like, we did something right, obviously. Yeah, so yeah. Even when there's a small audience, there can still be something good to come out of it. Those people, hardcore fans, had a great time. You know, they must have done, otherwise they wouldn't have.
Yeah.
Unless it's just, you know, disappointment, like embarrassing something.
Yeah, if I give them money, perhaps they'll improve.
And then the most people must be
probably
like...
Probably Download Pilot last year. That was crazy.
It was nuts. It was a fantastic show.
But it's just nice to see that you have all those experiences. And talking about those live shows and really the performance, I feel like St. Agnes is a band that you always like to push yourselves and see what you can try and do with the surroundings or the audience or anything like that. Obviously, there's a little bit of a difference between small club shows when you can climb stuff and playing big festival stages that you can't really move around too much. But like, one thing that's become a big staple of the show is you like to incorporate blood quite a bit. Talk just a little bit about that. Where did that idea come about? Was it just kind of influences beforehand, or was it like a moment where you thought, yeah, that's a really cool part of the show for you?
It was all down to the fact there's a couple of videos that we did. We make all of our own videos, and we don't really know what we're doing when we first started doing it. The very first video we made, we decided we were going to film something with night vision in complete darkness. we don't know what we're doing. So we were then performing without being able to see each other or see the footage. Or, do you know what I mean? Like, it was mental to go and do that. And so for the next video, we're like, let's do something where we can see each other, it'll be easier. And we're like, but we haven't got a big budget. Let's do something that's visually striking. And Kitty was like, let's just go full carry with the blood and just like, let's just make it just ridiculous. We'd kind of like played around with it in the previous video and it all was cool. But it turns out the blood doesn't show up on night vision. So Kitty just looked kind of wet. we just kind of went full on that, and it just felt anti-glitzy. Like when you have like a female singer in a band, there is a lot of pressure to be nice and to be pretty and to be like pristine, and to just kind of like visually go no.
Yeah. I know what you want.
Yeah.
No.
And then we the next song that we released, it was like a kind of ballad type song. And again, like our manager had said, oh, you could do something kind of nice for this. And it was in the summer during lockdown, and there's all these beautiful cornfields like out near where the guy who like films our videos lives. And we're like, let's go out there, wander around and make something beautiful, but with Kitty holding a hammer covered in blood. And then we filmed the last scene near my mum's house, and she lives just in proper suburbia. And we got up
really early in the morning because we wanted that like sunrise, like lighting glow kind of thing. Yeah. And I mean, she couldn't live in a more kind of conservative, like bastion of the Conservative Party. It's like horrendous. And there was me at like 7 a.m. Everyone's like getting up for work just with like a axe and
walking down the road.
covered in blood.
It was fucking crazy. It was great. Looked like, but no one stopped us. No one said anything. It's amazing. Yeah. Like you realise you
English
could...
people were like, why are we like this?
Isn't that the Tory way though?
It is, yeah.
Like, nah, I better not talk to those commoners. us, they might.
Exactly, they might. Well, or maybe the fact that Kitty was like my mum's front door was open and Kitty was leaving there covered in blood and a hammer, and they were like, "Ah, oh, yes. Someone had to do it." Never puts her fucking bins out, and when she does, there's some cunt from Freeway 333 jumping all over her.
Yes.
Oh, we love it. Love a full circle. But no, I'm sure there's loads of experiences like that where you've been in full St. Agnes kind of gear and the blood and stuff like that, and you have to explain it to someone who doesn't know what the hell is going on, like maybe in everyday life or family members.
Like my nan, yeah.
Yeah.
Big time, yeah. Yeah.
Well, what she said, yeah, what's her nan said about it?
She loves it, actually.
You've got jam on you. Stop, Tom.
She's very sweet. She doesn't understand, like, she's on Facebook. My nan is on Facebook. She's a whole, like, thing in herself. But she doesn't really understand, like, that it's a Facebook band page. I think she thinks it's my personal Facebook. So she'll send messages, like, these big, long messages, like, oh, I'm coming around next week. We'll do this for tea, blah, 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 blah. Kiss, kiss, kiss. It's very cute. Yeah. But it always, like, goes into band messages, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So everyone sees them.
Oh, it's just amazing. She's incredible. She's such a character. Such a character. And she also looks like, you see old photos of her, she looks exactly like Kitty, so we know exactly like what Kitty's going to look like when she's old.
It's pretty good.
Which is quite funny.
I'm okay with it.
But yeah, I think explaining that stuff to band members, my dad doesn't have a clue what's going on with any of it. And there is that element of like, you know, he's like, Dolly Parton is a nice singer, and like she does songs sometimes with a man. So there's a man and a woman singing together. It's nice, and you can hear all the words. And you can't explain it. People either get it or they don't. Even other bands don't necessarily get it. Yeah. And for us, it's not like we're wedded to everything we do. We have to be covered in blood. It was just during that kind of moment, there was just a real. During that whole social media intensity of lockdown, where everyone was living online, you're really aware that you started to measure yourself, and however bad it is for men, it must be so much worse for women, of like just being told that you look shit all the time and everything. And the EP that we wrote had like a lot to say about that kind of self-reflection, and that is the world that we live in now. You know, we live online, so it's not another part of life, it is life. And if you're feeling shit about yourself constantly in that and trying to kind of present something, how that you become that thing. That's why we wrote the song Vampire, as kind of a slightly poppy song intentionally to try and like tick the kind of more mainstream boxes, so that then we could subvert it with this kind of lyric, really criticizing mainstream stuff. And so then when we're playing Download Festival and we hadn't done a gig for ages, we're still in this mindset of like, fuck kind of that niceness, that gloss and everything, and we're just going to come out, and we're not the world's most insane band, we're not like some black metal band and everything, but it's like we want to come out feeling like we're breathing fire, you know, and like spitting blood, and it's like, well, we can do that one, you know. So and that's,
is fire breathing next door?
Oh, haven't got the certificate.
You'd have to, yeah, well, there's another person to pay, you know, you're probably an health and safety officer. Yeah. Of course they'll want paying first, the bastards. Or paying at all.
But speaking of incorporating those kind of messages, have you seen people pick up on that and kind of resonate when coming to see you live and kind of talking to you afterwards?
Yeah, I definitely think like the more honest I am with my songwriting and my lyrics, which is what I'm always trying to do, is be more and more honest, the more it connects with people. Yeah, for sure.
Definitely seen it, like, yeah. After every show and on stage when we do a headline tour, obviously it's our audience and they know the words and everything, like you see people, it matters.
Yeah.
That's making me emotional.
John cries in every single interview. Very intense person.
At my own words.
Yeah. I'm so moved by things that were said on stage.
I live on an emotional knife edge constantly.
What I wanted to ask is do you bring your own blood? Or is it...
I know you bring your own blood, obviously. You're a vessel of it. But do you supply the blood, or is that on the rider?
If we can't get a bin, they're not going to give us blood, are they?
I don't know. You never know.
A bin full of blood next.
Yeah. Oh, dive into the bin full of blood.
It'd be like one of those Scooby-Doo type things, sort of, that tiny pool, because that's all that you get.
But like, talking about this music as well, like, how is things behind the scenes at the moment? Are you still kind of constantly writing stuff? Is there a plan for anything like that? Or is it just kind of constantly ideas and seeing where things go?
Yeah, so it's really difficult because we've had a few interviews like lined up by a manager and stuff for this, and it's like, everything we're doing right now, we can't actually announce what we're doing. So it's like, what the fuck are we going to talk about? Like, we have nothing to, we can't tell you what we're doing. What we are doing is we're writing our second album at the moment, and we have signed a deal, and it's by far and away the biggest fucking thing we've ever done, and it's awesome, really exciting. Nice. But we can't thank you.
I went cold for you then.
I'm going to cry.
See the excitement in you then.
Yeah.
Give me the shivers. So yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations.
It's the beginning of like what's going to feel like a really significant chapter. And like, Kitty and I talk about this band endlessly. And our decision was like, this is a massive opportunity for us, but we're just going to stick to our guns. We're not going to try and play the game at all. Like, we've got this far by just making the music we want to make. Kitty, as she said, increasingly kind of honest, emotional. It's really digging deep and stuff. And that's exactly what we're doing. So the writing sessions, that's all we've been doing, is just focusing on what's our thing. And we've actually got a producer working with us on a couple of songs, which we've
also can't tell you who it is.
But
he's really
like,
cool. Trust us.
Our manager said, can you make a list of producers that you would like to work with? And we're really fussy about everything. We produce everything ourselves. And so we're quite, some people think we're really arrogant about it, but it's not. It's just, why have your message changed in some way? Even if it's objectively to an audience member better, it doesn't feel like yours anymore. And so it's like telling someone you love them, but getting a friend to do it. It's like, it doesn't mean the same. You want to be involved in every step of the way. And so we were asked to make a list of producers, and we had one person on the list. That we actually really thought would get the music and would respect the fact that we're control freaks. And he said yes to being involved. And like, we had a phone call, a Zoom call with him. And I just lost my mind. It was insane. I went to pieces with my fanness.
Right.
Yeah, he was so embarrassed.
We're going to go around everyone one by one now with a guess of who this might be. I'll go first.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Trent Reznor.
Oh.
Honestly,
can't say.
All right.
Can't say. We just can't
fair
say.
Enough.
No, but it's so nice to see the excitement for everything with that. So I can't wait to see what comes up. But as we start to wind down on this conversation now, one thing we do like to mention on the podcast quite regularly is just hearing guests' experiences with people that maybe that's blown your mind a little bit, is there anything you've done in the band that you can't really comprehend, or have you met any of your musical heroes and had like nice or bad experiences with those kind of elements?
I think when we played Download, meeting Skindred backstage, who are a band that have just grafted, you know, like they've never really had that kind of massive moment for them, that a hype thing. They've just grafted and grown and grown and grown, and they, I have a huge amount of respect for them. And to meet them and have a, like, get on with them really well, and then be invited to tour with them straight away afterwards, and then find ourselves being invited on stage to sing with them, was like, it was like, that's how stuff works kind of in people's biographies, you know, like where this like a kind of respect turns to a meeting, turns to an opportunity, turns to something really great, and now we're friends with them. Like, that was a really excellent little nugget of life, you know.
Awesome.
Great, yeah. So I mean, if I'm assuming everyone here's seen Skindred at some point, because if you haven't,
wait, has anyone not seen, put your hand up if you've not seen Skindred. Oh, is that Christ. Real
highly recommend them, like, even
so
if
you need to
see Skindred live,
even if you don't know the material, you will have an incredible time. That's the beauty of, like, Benji's front man-ness. He is like Freddie Mercury level of greatness, and then the music is just it's the most fun, like, mosh along great stuff. Like, you find yourself singing the chorus the first time it comes up, you're like, how's that happen? That's magic.
I know all the words. Yeah, I don't know the words.
I don't know. I love that when we play a new song and you see someone,
you see somebody in front, and like,
yeah, and you're like, yes, they're like,
you don't
they're
know fun. The words,
so. Or they just think your material's so samey that they thought it was a different song.
That's true. But with all that, now, as you mentioned, new music going on behind the scenes, but if there's anything else you'd like to share, plug, let the people know about, please do.
Sorry.
We don't have anything really fresh right now because it's all kind of in the works, but please just go and check us out. Like, that's the main thing. Like, all of that stuff, just like listening to us, and hopefully if you enjoy it, sharing it. Like, there is nothing that helps a band more than just telling a friend or sending something to a friend or send us a message saying, this song's sick. Like, that, it makes our day, and that will influence the album. You know, if someone says that riff in that song's killer, I fucking love it, and I see a YouTube clip of someone playing it, I'm like, on the album, I'm like, well, I have to write a riff this good. Like, and it forces you. So that has real life impact, so please do, like, tell us we're amazing.
Yeah. But also, on that same vein, if you don't like the band, send it to an enemy anyway, because it's still sharing it, and it's still getting fucking streams for people.
Exactly. The thing. Please check us out and share it. Like, it makes a huge difference to any band that you find, stumble across here, just support them. It really means that all this stuff can carry on.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So what's the socials? At We Are St. Agnes?
It's All We Are St. Agnes, yeah.
Nice. Cool. Nice.
Right. So, make sure you follow them. I know you've all got social media, so make sure you follow them.
Well, thank you so much, guys, for taking the time to do this. I know it's very early. You played yesterday.
Last thing
you probably wanted to do was wake up, but we really appreciate it.
Thank you
and,
very much.
And just thank you, everyone, for coming and checking us out.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.
The last 3 days have been incredible doing this. It really means a lot to myself and Sean. We've got mad experiences with this festival in the past, and just to see that we've been able to come on the stage and talk to people and stuff is being crazy. So thank you so much. If you, again, check us out at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram.
At SAPPENINPOD, at SAPPENINPOD.
New podcast out every Friday, and let's have a laugh. But we're going to take a quick photo. If you can all be in the background and do something crazy, that'd be funny. But
here's a question I wanted to ask all weekend. Did anybody go to the yoga before this and then stay? No, good.
Crossover fan.
Because jamming two Welsh knobheads talking shite between yoga and poetry, I thought was a bold move. So I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you very much to 2000 Trees.
Yes.
Thank you again to St. Agnes, who are fucking awesome. Make sure you check them out, please. And we've been Sapnin Podcast. Please check it out where you can find podcasts. Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Thank you very much.
Enjoy your day. Enjoy.
Have a great day.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast! Yes! Woo! Thank you very, very much, John and Kitty of St. Agnes fame. Again, absolutely fucking lovely people. Despite how they dress and how they want you to think about them, they are absolutely beautiful people inside and out. Yeah, trying to put us off with being goths, and it turns out you're actually beautiful humans. Ha ha ha, we broke it. Yeah, imagine if we've ruined them now. Like, imagine people listen to this and they're like, oh, they're fucking lovely. And then they're like, oh, not a fan. I thought they were just going to be evil, mean bastards.
I thought they were going to be miserable. I thought they were just going to be moping around. But no, they're actually decent human beings.
Well, fucking great. Thank you again, John and Kitty. We had a great laugh. You are welcome back anytime. Let's do more together soon. And I don't just mean podcast-wise. I mean, please take Raiders on tour because that would be a right laugh.
I've really enjoyed every time I've got to see them live. Such a good, energetic band. You never know what they're going to do on stage. And if you haven't checked out their music for some reason, I encourage you to check out their recent EP, Vampire, that came out last year in 2021. And of course, their debut studio album, Welcome to Silvertown, from a few years back. Exciting to see that they're so revived up for what's going to happen next. And I'm really looking forward to keeping an eye on everything. But yeah, this was just really nice, moving conversation. I don't think any of us knew really what to expect going on the stage to do these shows. But involving that crowd, you would think maybe the guests would put on a bit more of a show. But if anything, it made them even more honest in the conversations.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think literally none of us knew what was going to go on and how it was going to be. We were all kind of nervous about it. It was their, like you said earlier, it was their first time talking in, you know, directly to a crowd, I guess, like that, you know, without instruments to back them up.
Yeah.
Quick, play a fucking song, quick. I said the wrong thing, play a song. You couldn't do that. So, yeah, we had a fucking great time. They fucking killed it and handled it like fucking pros. And we somehow managed to scrape through it. So, yes, it was fantastic. Thanks again to 2000 Trees for having us. It's genuinely, I think, my favourite festival in the UK at the moment. I'm looking forward to 2023. I think they're going to have some big things happening, I'd imagine.
Yes, fingers crossed, announcements and all that to come very soon. But if you enjoyed this and thought, oh, you know what? I'd like to be in the audience for a live Sapnin podcast show, and you think we should maybe do more somewhere, let us know at Sapnin Pod on Twitter and Instagram. If you think we should do our own shows, we can have a look into that. Maybe. If you want other festivals to book us for next summer, hey, let them know and tag them as well. Because we would like that, but they need to know that you want that, innit?
Yes, not really up to it. Yeah, we can't just go, oh, guys, we're doing Reading. Hey, guys, me and Morgan are headlining Reading this year. Spoiler alert, we are going to pull out 10 days beforehand and then leave you with a wishy-washy podcast with pink lighting instead. So, yes, get in touch with the festivals or anywhere you want to see us, Leicester Square Theatre in London, you know, stuff like that. Get in touch. Tag us at Sapnin Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and fucking TikTok, but who bothers with that anymore?
We're saying all that, Sean. I know it's being busy for you with Raiders and stuff lately, but you have a lot of DJ sets coming up over the next month.
Yes, I do. I am DJing in Manchester, Liverpool, Cardiff, home of Salt Bay, Cardiff, Avocado. So if you would like to know or come to any of those, check out my socials at Sean Smith Sucks on Twitter, at Fake Sean Smith on Instagram. Up there, I've got the dates and graphics, I believe, or check out my stories and I will be promoting where and when I'm DJing. Also, give Morgan Richards a follow on socials at MHRichards_. Luckily for all of us, he doesn't do much DJing at the moment because how many times could you hear the soundtrack to fucking Mean Girls over and over? I don't know, but I wouldn't go to that night. I'm sure there's thousands of people who fucking would.
Hey, if you run a Mean Girls night, hit me up at MHRichards_ Twitter and Instagram. But yeah, the Freshers are going to be back, so I'm sure it's going to be a busy time for you. But of course, if you'd like to support this podcast, patreon.com/sapnin is the best way to do that for your subscription. You get loads of bonuses, behind the scenes content, and some exclusives that we don't put out on the normal podcast feed. And the most important thing is you get included into a wonderful community of people that we love very, very much. They're so supportive of each other. I've noticed lately there's been a lot of big life moments for a lot of them. They've been getting engaged, they've been getting married, they've been having kids, all these adult things, you know, buying houses, things that we can't do. But it's nice to know that they can. So if you want to get involved in that.
Oh, he's right. I'm laughing because it's true. Congratulations to everybody in our group who is now in a fucking marriage with a house. Fucking hell, imagine that. One day, when I grow up, because I'm fucking still 7, apparently. When I grow up, I'm going to have a house. Fucking never going to have a house now, mate.
Also, if any of those things has happened to you recently and you want to show it off even more,
come
and join
don't.
Our Patreon, patreon.com/sapnin. If you head to the description in this episode and all episodes, there's loads of names there that we'd like to thank. But of course, Sean is going to give a mahoosive shout out to the elite members of our Sapnin Podcast Patreon community.
Yes, thank you very much. And sending on all our love to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwoe, Paul Hirschfield. It's his birthday today as we record this. Happy birthday. Mitch Perry, Tony Michael, Dilly Grimwood, Kelly Irwin, Natasha Morris, Nathan Croshaw, Emma Barber, Sammy G, Kat Besson, Dana Lasnova, Jerry Robinson, Murray Grimwood, Scott Jones, Amy Dawson, Amy Louise, Tom Owen, Stuart McNaught, M. Evans Roberts, Stephen Aston, Caroline Robinson, Kate Puttock, Martina McManus, Carl Pendlebury, Louis Cook, Danny Eaton, James McNaught, Kelly Cannon, Jenny Munster, Craig Harris, Emily Perry, Jason Heredia, John and Emma, Kalila Keane, Adam Parslow. Can I announce that? No, I can't announce that. Anyway, said too much. Ollie Amesbury, founder of the Sean the Dog Toucher. That's in reference to Ollie Amesbury sending in a photo of me to Alex Simwise, former guest of the podcast, where people had to vote if I was fit or a dog toucher. Yep, I voted dog toucher. Josh, how do you deal with a sad astronaut? Just give him some space, crisp. Thank you very much. Alice Wood, Gary White, Reese Bowden, Kate Stevenson, Kyle David Smith, Connor Lewins, and last but no means least, Katrina Robinson. Thank you very much to all of those people and all the people in the description and everyone who's ever been part of Patreon. If you've ever considered it for a millisecond, go on, man. Please do. That would be lovely. Appreciate you. Everybody else, stay safe. Don't die. Keep your tongue out. Don't be sick. Fuck the Tories. May death come quickly to Liz Truss.
We'll be back next week and every Friday with a new episode, a special guest, and a good laugh. Next week is 199. We're very close to 200. So, I mean, celebrations coming very soon. Fingers crossed.
What are we doing for 200?
Party? No, I don't know. We'll sort them in.
Shit. All right. Anyway, Sapnin!
Sapnin!
It's too close. It's 2 weeks, man. Fuck. Come on, Fred Durst, for fuck's sake. Anyway, Sapnin.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.